Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I like to think of discipleship as the 12 disciples who lay down their nets to follow Jesus and to learn from him. I imagine pictures of the disciples and Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, walking with Jesus down a dusty road, or sitting around the table at the last meal. It's like the tune of the hymn of the day that we will sing in just a minute. The tune, not the words, but the tune. Will you come and follow me if I just call your name? It's peaceful and it's affirming. But the problem with our text today is that when we are called to be disciples, it is not all easy and all comfortable. New Testament scholar Greg Carey claims that the text today puts forth a twofold image of what it means to be disciples. And it's not all sunshine and roses. There is a cost. First, Jesus urges his disciples to be radical in their faith. And to be radical is to be extreme. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for us to wiggle out of it. This radical call is for the disciples to go out and not whisper the story of Jesus, but shout it from the housetops. They're not to bring peace because Jesus brings a sword that will cut out of your life all that doesn't have to do with God, that just might include your family. Second, Jesus invites the disciples to share his fate. Jesus is persecuted. When they speak the radical words of Jesus from the mountaintops, when they really prioritize Jesus above everything, their lives will change, families can be broken, and they can be in danger. There's many examples of Christians who have been persecuted like this for their faith. Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran pastor who tried to stop Hitler, but ultimately was hung for treason. Oscar Romero, the Catholic priest in El Salvador who spoke out against poverty, social injustice, and torture. And then in 1980, he was assassinated during Mass. Or the Egyptian Christians living today under ISIS, whose churches were bombed this past Palm Sunday. This message of radical discipleship worked for the disciples of Matthew's gospel. Jesus sent them out into the world among the wolves, told them to take nothing with them but the word of God, and they had to be radical to get the work done. Jesus also told them that they would be dragged before governors and kings, persecuted and hated in his name. And when the persecution began, they were not to be afraid, but to know that just like God loves the littlest of the sparrows, God will love them and care for them. And whoever took up the cross and followed Jesus would receive peace beyond understanding on the final day. But what do these texts mean for me today? I am not Bonhoeffer. I'm not Romero or a Christian in Egypt. I don't especially like the word radical, and I really don't want to be persecuted. I am a Lutheran in Clay, Alabama. We need to be really, really, really careful not to whitewash these texts today and say that they don't really apply to us here at this time and place. Are things really so different? When we become disciples of Christ, our lives change, and God doesn't ask us for a little bit of our life. God demands our whole life. But has our discipleship become too easy? Have we tamed our religion? Have we compartmentalized our lives such that our discipleship fits in a nice little box, maybe even just on Sunday mornings? Is our discipleship even the slightest bit inconvenient? In the break room at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, there are cans of soup, SpaghettiOs, and other individual meal items. And there's a sign that hangs above the cans which reads, "If you need lunch, help yourself." You see, many students at Candler manage to get their seminary tuition together with loans and scholarships and gifts, but they have no money left to feed themselves. The students feel God's call so strongly, but the cost of that call is not knowing when they might eat again. The women's high school soccer team made it to the state playoffs, and the coach called practice on Good Friday evening. One of the starting players always worshiped with her family on Good Friday, so she told the coach that she would miss that practice. She was benched the entire first playoff game. And if you ask her about this experience today, years later, she won't be able to tell you who the opponent was that night, or even whether they won the state championship that year. But she will be able to tell you the cost to attend Good Friday worship with her family was that she was benched. The 9th and 10th graders in the Shepherd's unit at Affirm last week learned about what it means to be a Christian leader. And part of that experience was washing feet. Feet that had walked in the rain, lots of it, through the mud. And I can tell you, they smell really, really bad. And it was weird. And it was very uncomfortable for these teens. But the cost of serving another was getting on their hands and their knees with a wash basin. Day-to-day discipleship, there's a cost. We're all in different places in our lives, different times. But no matter what stage of our life we are in, God continually calls us to be disciples, to stand up for the kingdom, even if we experience a little bit of discomfort or maybe even inconvenience. And I love the image from Jeremiah today. Jeremiah was called by God in the womb. He'd been a radical prophet, just like God called him to be. He'd been persecuted, just like God promised he would be. And truth be told, it was really, really, really hard. But Jeremiah can't ignore God's call, for there is something like a burning fire shut up in his bones, and he can't hold it in anymore. Despite the cost, Jeremiah can't help but respond to God's call. And like Jeremiah, God calls each and every one of us that are sitting here today. And this call to discipleship isn't a once-in-a-lifetime event. This call doesn't come once. But we are called over and over, over again. Every single day we are called to discipleship. And the call to discipleship might be uncomfortable. But if we let ourselves feel that burning fire of God's call in us, we can't help but respond. We can't help but stand up for justice, not just shake our heads and ask what this world is coming to, but speak out about injustice. Speak out for the poor, the homeless, the bullied, the women, the children. Proclaim it from the housetops, even if it's uncomfortable. We can't help but give away our money and our time, the gifts that God has given us, to work for the kingdom until, yes, it's inconvenient and it hurts and something in our life changes. We can't help but do something really uncomfortable, radical even. What have you sworn that you would never do? Pray in public? Serve others in a certain part of town? Teach a class? Some of us can tell stories about vowing never to do something and then hearing God's call to do just that. God doesn't really care that it might be uncomfortable for us. When God calls, God will gift us to answer that call. So what is stopping us from answering our call to be a disciple today? Are we worried about whether what we have to give is good enough? Remember that God loves even the lowest of the sparrows and every last hair on our heads. Every gift God gives us is worthy to share. Are we afraid of what we hear God calling us to do? Three times today in Matthew's text, we are told, "Do not be afraid." In the hands of our loving God, we have nothing to fear. God promises to be with us in our call. Is it not the right time in our life? Too busy with work or the children or other things going on? Is there anything more important than investing in our own faith or the faith of our family and our children? Serving together and worshiping together is family time. Too old or too young or too sick or too whatever? What about the elderly woman who can't get out but has committed herself to pray every day for a different member of her congregation? Or the three-year-old who smiles and brightens the day of everyone she sees? Or the middle schooler who is a friend to the one who has none? Wondering why everyone else is hearing God and we aren't? Pray that God will show up. And then pray that when God shows up, we will have the ears to hear. I don't know how God is calling us to be a disciple today, but I do know that God is calling. And the call is never ending. Sometimes the call will be inconvenient, uncomfortable, and maybe not even easy. But whatever we lose in answering God's call, God promises something so much better. Can you imagine what God's kingdom will look like when each and every one of us responds?